Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here. Praise God. We are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy goodness. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy mercy and Thy grace, which has brought us here once again. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be here this evening. I pray, O God, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to reach out to Thee and to worship Thee, truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For we know, O God, that Thou art seeking such to worship Thee. And we pray, O God, that everything we do here this night will be done according to Thy perfect plan, Thy perfect will. Let everything we do here tonight be pleasing in Thy sight, Lord. And we ask for Thy blessing and Thy direction to be upon this entire service. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our chorus books to number 25 to begin with tonight. Let go and let God have His way. Number 25. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We're going to turn now to number 47 and sing, Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be, number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we need the Lord to do that for us because nobody else is going to. Praise God. He's the only one who can take our lives and take the messes we were all in and turn it into something wonderful. Let's turn to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Number 5. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. My confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it is such a wonderful thing that He took our lives and made something beautiful out of them, and that He saved our souls. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 42 and sing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn now to number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You, number 141. Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to open our hymnals now. And you know, we've been singing about how God has changed our lives. And we've been singing about how thankful we are for what He has done for us. And you know, I'd never want to go back to the way things were before I knew the Lord. You know, that's not something worth going back for. And you know, we do face challenges in this life. We always will, but it's going to be worth it all in the end. So let's turn to number 59 in the hymnal and sing When We See Christ. Seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. Tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. Of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, will lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
God. You know, we probably all imagine what that day is going to like, but I tell you what, it's going to be far better than anything you can ever imagine with your human mind. Praise the Lord. I am so looking forward to that day. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee once again for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us, for thy abundant love and thy care. We thank thee, O God, for thy provisions towards us, thy sustaining power. For we know, O God, that we could not be here without thy mercy, without thy grace, without thy guidance and thy direction. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead this ministry in all that we do. We pray, O God, that thou would guide us by thy mighty hand and give us thy wisdom. For we need thy wisdom so very much. Help us to know how to use these funds for your glory, for your purpose, for the cause of your holy name. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing another song, one more song, before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And there is a song that has been on my mind today. I need to look up the number. It's number 195 in the hymnal. We Shall See the King, number 195. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdom of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing to sing about that wonderful day when we will see our King. Praise God. And we're going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise God.
Well, we praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank our God. We are blessed to know that one day we are going to see Him. And it is so true. It is going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Can you imagine, there are trials in this world and we all know what that's like, when things go awry or, we're enduring pain or there's hardship or we lose loved ones and there's just so many possibilities in this world. But, it's all going to be past and we are so privileged. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, we're still fighting here. This is, we've got a ways to go, perhaps. We don't know, just to what degree, but we've got to endure until the end. By the grace of God, we shall. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again for Your great mercy, Your kindnesses. Oh, Lord, that You chose to call us and make such a wonderful salvation available to us. Oh God, we could do nothing without You, Lord. And oh God, we just thank You, Lord, for that hope that is deep within us, that hope, Lord, that You put within us, that we might, oh Lord, one day meet You. Oh, that we might reign with You, Lord. Oh God, that we might have the things of this world behind us, Lord. All past, oh Lord. Oh God, all these trials, oh Lord, behind us. I just pray, oh Lord, that You minister here tonight to us, that You give us that kind of strength that we need, Lord, to hold on, to go forward, to believe You, God, to have faith, Lord. I pray that You'd work in Jesus' name, Lord, for Your name's sake and for Your glory. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And oh, God, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd have your way. Oh, God, and that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you give us a faith that's deep, oh, Lord, a faith that's intense, Lord. Oh, God, a faith that can move mountains, oh, Lord, that we can stand the tests of times. Oh, Lord, whatever, Lord, might be before us. Oh, God, give us that kind of endurance. Give us that kind of hope, oh, Lord Jesus. Give us that kind of encouragement here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we come before you, Lord. We ask that you'd work in our hearts. Oh, God, that you'd change us, that you'd give us thy mind. Oh, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to look for the things that are above and not on the things that are on this world, oh God. Help us not to mind, oh God, the things, oh God, that are on the earth. But, oh God, help us to set our affections on things that are above. Oh God, we need you here. And we pray in Jesus' name, ask you to bind every unclean spirit and every, oh God, spirit that would cause us, oh Lord, oh God, to be reluctant, oh Lord, to, oh God, be hesitant to go forward, Lord, and do the things that would please thee, Lord. Oh God, anything, oh Lord, that would try to distract from the simplicity of thy word. Oh God, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. Believing that you're going to work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be turning to 1 John here tonight to begin. We're going to call this the victory that overcometh the world. The victory that overcometh the world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. 1 John, and we're going to go to the 5th chapter and read a few verses there in this chapter here. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. There's a fight that goes on in our lives. And it is a fight for faith. And as we just look at these verses here just a little more closely here, you know, that first verse is talking about those that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that, you know, not everybody has that revelation. You know, Jesus himself said, except that you believe that I am he, ye shall all likewise perish. And of course, we know he came unto his own. And you would think they would have been the most receptive to have received him, seeing, you know, they had the scripture. They should have known that the Messiah was coming, and they should have seen all the indicators, and they should have believed the works that he did. And they, you know, they should have realized that Jesus was indeed the Christ. But they had a problem. So many Jewish people had a problem. And, you know, even John the Baptist had forewarned, you know, that, you know, he had told them that, you know, that they were not to say within themselves that they had Abraham to their father. For God was able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham. He told them that. And you know, they had a problem because they seemed to have this thinking that they were above other people and very special. And it's interesting how it seems like some of these thought patterns continue to go on in this world today. But, you know, the truth was, there was no hope for them spiritually at all if they did not grasp that Jesus was indeed the Christ. And, you know, we know that it comes by revelation. We just pause for a moment and look at the 10th chapter of Luke. We'll just get a glimpse of the great need the understanding that must be revealed to us, that Jesus is indeed the Christ. But in Luke 10, in the 21st verse, it says, Luke 10, verse 21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight.'" And you know, we know that it's not intellect that gets us in to the kingdom of God. It's, you know, not worldly understanding by any means. You know, you could read books and books and books, and that is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. In fact, some people might even read scripture and not understand it at all. Because it has to be revealed to us by God. It has to come to us by His inspiration. He has to tug at our heart and call us so that we can see and understand. And you know, here he's thanking God. You know, so often the wise and the prudent, you know, have an ego, and you know, they you know, in fact, you know, there's many even in this world that we live in today that, you know, think that, you know, they are above other people. You know, they have this certain thing, you know, and you know that they were gifted with, so to speak, and you know that they have the right to rule other lives, and it, you know, to have dominion over other people, and you know, it's still around today. But you know, Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to find those that would humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and bow the knee and admit that they needed Jesus, that they needed salvation, that they were sinners, and you know, there was nothing that they could do of their own merit to help themselves. And so that revelation comes unto babes, those that would humble themselves and come to Him as a young child and be convicted of their sins and admit their need for salvation. And here Jesus is praying. He's rejoicing in the Spirit and He's praying, "Oh Father, I thank Thee, O Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes." And you know, it's so interesting, you know, one thing that they noticed about Peter and John there, you know, in the book of Acts there, right in the third chapter, I believe, is they noticed they were ignorant fishermen. You know, they had not learned, you know, they were not scholars, so to speak, but yet they knew that they had been with Jesus. And what a difference it makes. You know, that's all the difference in the world. That's what's going to matter. People, you know, have all these things, you know, that they esteem as important. And, you know, I'm so afraid that for the most part, you know, all of these goals and undertakings and, you know, processes, oh my, they probably avail to nothing, you know, unless it's based on the Word of God and in a life lived for Christ. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. You know, it's all for naught. And how pathetic to live this life and do it for naught and to have nothing to show at the end. Because truly it is only going to be the things that we do for Christ that are going to matter. But that was the way of God. You know, He did come, you know, for those that esteem themselves wise and prudent, but He came for those that would be of a meek and a contrite spirit and humble themselves. And He felt like it was good in the sight of the Lord. And then verse 22, it says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him." So even the understanding that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That has to come by revelation. And again, you're not going to get that by reading books, you know, and searching here and there and digging up treasures, unless it be the Word of God. And he did say to his disciples, it says in verse 23, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, to be part of the kingdom of God, and those that walked with God and could understand that he was the Christ, those that could see and understand, what a wonderful thing it was to see that the Messiah had indeed come, and that they could give their lives to him, that they could follow him, that they could indeed be his disciples. So it is so incumbent upon us that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as it tells us back here in 1 John, the 5th chapter. And again, it comes by revelation. So it has to be revealed to us. And so, that's how we could be born of God. First of all, by that revelation, that understanding. Because, you know, without it, well, as it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, I mean, look, it just excludes any possibility of coming to Jesus truly without realizing, first of all, that he is the Christ, and having faith that God puts in our heart. We can't please God without faith, because it's going to take faith for us to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. And then that second verse here in 1 John 5 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. You know, if we are truly the children of God, there's going to be evidence of that. There's going to be indicators. There's going to be fruit that we are the children of God. You know, if we're just as meat as a bowl, and, you know, go around cursing and swearing, and you know, yet claim that we're a Christian, I'd say there would be plenty of space to doubt that. In fact, how could we be? Because there is going to be evidence if we are indeed the children of God. And one of the evidence will be, one of the indicators will be that we love God. It's going to be deep in our heart to love God and also to keep his commandments. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. It's just that simple, you know, because he turns our life around. And, you know, if we've really given our lives to the Lord, if we've really repented, then we're going to hate sin. We're not going to want to live in our sins and, you know, do all those raunchy things that we once did. No, we're going to want to keep his commandments. We're going to want to serve him. You know, it's going to be evidential in our lives. And then it says in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, oh yes, again, he's emphasizing that need to keep his commandments, to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And again, when our lives are truly turned around, given over to God, they're not going to be, things that we can hardly bear to do. They're not going to be grievous, you know. We're going to learn to loathe the things of the past life, the indicators, the sins that dragged us down, and the things that condemned us in the past, those things that we once did, just, you know, thinking, you know, it was okay. But praise the Lord, that light of the glorious gospel, when it begins to shine into our hearts, and we begin to see and understand all at once, you know, and that realization hits us, oh, dear, we're sinners. Oh, we're far from God. We've got all these things in our lives that are hiding us from God, that are casting us away from God, that are hindering us from God. Praise the Lord, He made a way that we could come to Him and give those things, turn them over to the Lord, surrendering our heart, asking Him to come in and live in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing that is, that process of salvation. And I say process because there are steps, first, as we read in Hebrews, that 11th chapter, we've got to believe that He is. It's got to be have faith. Something's got to hit us, Oh, yes, the Word of God is true. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. It's got to hit us. But praise the Lord, that realization brings us to our knees so that we can turn to God in repentance. Oh, yes, and as we read the Word of God, we realize that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that it is commanded that we be baptized into Christ. And yes, as we do this, we shun sin. We turn it over to God. We ask Him to give us that strength to overcome. Oh yes, to truly be His disciples, to overcome the world. And praise the Lord, He gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, the Spirit, the Ghost that was in Jesus Christ that He gave up so that it might dwell in our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. Such a wonderful plan of salvation our God has given us. Praise the Lord. And so He made it available. Wonderful salvation, so our lives wouldn't have to be conformed to this world, but instead that we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove that which is that perfect will of God, that acceptable will of God, that good will of God, that we might, live that kind of life so that we can prove that God is in us, that it would be deep within us, that there would be indicators indeed. And as it tells us in verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, praise the Lord, that faith that He puts within us. But that faith, when we let it rule in our life, when we let that faith lead us, it gives us that strength to overcome, that victory to overcome the world, all these things that would, take us the other direction. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of these things that, would hinder us. But He puts it deep within us, that faith, that if we live in that faith, will help us to overcome the world, the things of the world. Oh yes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Praise the Lord. But in this day that we live in, it seems that faith is hugely attacked. Oh, it seems like, there's a fight that goes on in our spiritual being. It's a fight for faith, a fight to believe God for the simple things, for, our healings, for our salvation, for our deliverance, for those things that we so desperately need of God. For the salvation of our loved ones. Oh, yes, there's a fight that goes on deep within our lives. And we know Jesus warned that as, these last times came into being, that there would be a thing that would be in question. And that would be, would He find faith on the earth? Let's just go to Luke 18 for a moment. And, we have this little parable that Jesus told. Oh, this little woman, this widow woman that had a need. And, specifically we're not told what it was, but it tells us in this 18th chapter of Luke that she went before a judge continually perhaps day by day, maybe more than one time a day even. But this judge didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, everything was against this woman in so many ways. But this woman had a need. And she wasn't going to let go. She wasn't going to give up. And regardless of how blank his face might have looked, how mean he might have looked, what responses he might have given her, she kept on going. She kept on going. She kept on going. Praise the Lord. It's like us seeking the Lord. Oh yes, it's like us knocking at the door and knocking and knocking and knocking until that door is opened. And it tells us in this little parable that Jesus told that after a while, this very unjust judge said within himself in verse 4, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He was getting sick of seeing her face every day. And so he, you know, he gave in. And Jesus was saying, he was using this story to teach us a very distinct lesson that we need to know, that lesson that we ought always to pray and not to faint. And he said in verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, we see the willingness of our Heavenly Father. You know, those needs, those things that press upon us, those burdens that we have, all those things that we need answers for. Those moments again, down on our knees, crying out to God. Oh, it assures us here in this scripture that he is so willing to help us and that he will avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, he knows how to give the answers. But then the big question here in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And here we are, I believe, in the closing moments of time, looking for our Lord to return. But yet, oh my, it seems that there is a deficit of faith in this world. There is a lack of people that truly are willing to cry out. Oh, there's a lot of fainting going on and a lot of inconsistencies, you know. Sometimes the answers don't come with, you know, in a moment. You know, they don't always come instantly. And Jesus is teaching us here in this parable that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Yes, not to give up. So many times people give up too quickly. And, you know, it might be just before the answer is coming. But yet, you know, they stop. And therefore, it's never answered. The response doesn't come forth. I know Sundays, Brother Samuel mentioned blind Bartimaeus there in the 10th chapter of Mark. And, you know, that's such a beautiful story as Jesus was coming into Jericho and you know, the disciples with him. And I'm sure there was that huge crowd of people that followed him. But there was one sitting by the wayside and he could see. He was blind. He was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And there he sat by the highway, I imagine as he always did, begging. But he began to hear the commotion of the crowd and realized that it was Jesus that was passing by. And oh my, he'd heard something. He'd heard about Jesus and something was inspired in his heart. And you know, somehow that faith began to rise within his very being. And he began to realize it's Jesus, the healer, and he's come. And it was his opportunity. And praise the Lord, it was so within him that he began to cry out, began to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, I don't think he just said it once. I don't think he was very quiet. Oh my, he kept on saying it, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, I don't know how many times he cried, you know, they were telling him to be quiet. Be quiet. Oh, you're noisy. You know, this is interrupting things. Hold your peace. But it says he cried the more a great deal. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And praise the Lord, Jesus stood still. Oh, I don't know what cry it was, if it was his 40th cry, his 100th cry, his 8th cry. I don't know. But I know it was more than one cry. Jesus heard that cry. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And there that blind man came. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee, they told him. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he was so eager. You know, he cast away his garment, those things that he might trip over. And he rose and came to Jesus. Oh, there was one thing that was pressing. There was one thing that he needed. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to see. And nothing was going to stop him. So he cried out. And praise the Lord, Jesus heard him. Jesus called for him. Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And that blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Well, I'll tell you, a moment with Jesus can change everything. The whole course of our lives. Oh, the, you know, whole road that we were traveling can all at once be changed when Jesus comes into our lives. But that man wasn't going to give up. And I think one of my other favorite stories is also found in Matthew, the book of Matthew, for one place. And it's in the 15th chapter of Matthew. And here, if we look at the 21st verse, we realize that Jesus had departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. So he wasn't in Galilee or Judea at this moment. And here he was. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Oh, that heavy burden that she carried, her daughter that, you know, probably behaved like a lunatic and, you know, was, you know, probably not able to, you know, mature and do things normally at all. There was a devil that had interrupted her life and she was grievously vexed. And this woman, oh, she so wanted to see her daughter delivered. So here she came, and she too, she was crying out unto Jesus. But she was not a Jewish woman. And it tells us in verse 23 that Jesus, at the first, he answered her not a word. You know, she's crying out for help. And, you know, he's ignoring her. And, you know, again, I don't think it was just one cry, because it tells us, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So, you know, here they are going down the road, and I feel like she's running after them, and crying, and crying, and crying, and asking Jesus to have mercy. And Jesus was ignoring her. And then he said unto her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, you know, he's denying her at that moment the privilege of being, or her daughter being healed. But you know what? She didn't give up. You know, she didn't let that stop her. You know, she was going to keep on. And now she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And you know, Jesus still responded in a rather negative way. He said in verse 26, "It is not meet or appropriate to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." So he's insulting her, actually. He's calling her a dog. But you know what? She took it. She didn't become offended because of this at all. No, there was something so deep within her heart. She had a need. She wanted so to see her daughter delivered that she wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going to let anything stop her. You know, no matter how many insults came or how she was ignored, nothing deterred her. And, you know, she showed her faith. Oh, yes, that faith that overcomes the world. She said in verse 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Oh, praise the Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Oh, praise the Lord. He had compassion on her. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, what a wonderful event that must have been. Was it worth it? You know, to follow Jesus, to beg, to holler, to cry. Oh my, to scream or whatever all. Was it worth it? Oh, he heard her. Oh, yes, her need was met because she was willing to be persistent. Oh, she was, you know, not going to allow anything to stop her. She was showing faith, and Jesus saw it. Praise the Lord. Well, there's so many things that could happen in our lives that could be a test and a trial. If we go now to the 12th chapter of Daniel, I'd just like to go through a little, the 10th chapter of Daniel. I'd like to go through a little incident here. Of course, we know that Daniel was indeed a man of faith. And here it was. It tells us in the 10th chapter of Daniel, verse 1, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision." But then it tells us in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." There was something he wanted to understand that was hidden from him at this point. And so it tells us in verse 2, he was mourning 3 full weeks. And it tells us in verse 3, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all." There was something heavy on his heart. He wanted an answer. He had a need. And he was fasting. He was praying till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." You know, we don't know, you know. You cry out to the Lord enough, you know. You fast and pray. You don't know how the Lord might respond. You just might see a vision of God. Who knows, but here Daniel was, and he'd been, you know, mourning for all this time, these several days. It says in verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a Great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Now, this is interesting too. Obviously, they would have been in the way, and they, you know, this was nothing that pertained to them or that they, you know, were concerned with at all. And so God wanted them out of the way, you know. And you know, I believe Samuel mentioned, I seems like that was Sunday too, where, you know, he has to work with faith, you know. And sometimes, you know, in a room there might be people that are not of faith, and they would be distracting from the plan and purpose of God, you know. So, you know, they go. And here it was, you know, God caused a great quaking among them, upon them, and so that they fled to hide themselves. And then it says in verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Obviously, he was so weak, and you know what he had just seen, and then, you know, these reactions and everything else, and the vision, oh, yes, that he saw, and all at once, you know, he'd been fasting besides all these many days, and there was no strength left in him at all. And it explains in verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Oh, he's down there on his face toward the ground without any strength. But I love how the Lord reaches out to strengthen us. And, you know, sometimes it might be physical strength that we need. I think we might all know what it feels like sometimes to just have no more strength left, to, you know, have maybe done so many activities, you know, that, you know, somehow it was gone, it was used. And sometimes it's spiritual strength too, you know, where maybe we've gone through all those spiritual battles and all at once it feels like we don't have any more gumption to fight those battles that are in front of us. But I love how the Lord knows how to give us strength. And so it was with Daniel. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, in my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Oh, he was so out of strength, out of energy, that, you know, he was down there on the ground. And that voice begins to speak, and oh, once he's on his knees, the voice tells him to arise to his feet, and there he is. He stands trembling. And then he hears this voice tell him in verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You know, God hears us, you know, and he knows, and sometimes he's seeing what we're really made of. You know, how determined we are in our heart. You know, are we going to continue even if the answer doesn't come immediately? But God had heard him, and from the very first day that he set his heart to understand, that he began to cry out for the burden that was in his heart and to chasten himself before God. God heard it. His words had come to the Almighty One, and now he was come for his words. And then the explanation, for the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days below. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. Oh, there was no way he could respond. It was so amazing. And perhaps there were many more words that were given him at this point to interpret the things that he needed understanding for. But the Lord was answering. The Lord was coming to him and the Lord was strengthening him. In such a way, there's no strength like the Lord. I think perhaps we all know, maybe, you come home and you're so tired, and yet you have something that must be done. And, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to ask God for supernatural help, for supernatural strength. I'll tell you what, I'm amazed. God gives it to us. And here in this chapter, he was helping Daniel, this greatly beloved man who lived for God and declared his word. And so it tells us, verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, that I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? He realized, this was not an ordinary circumstance. I don't know if this was the angel of the Lord or God Almighty, but it was mighty, it was amazing, it was not a normal occurrence at all. And he realized, oh my, this is a heavenly thing that it has come to me. The answer is coming, and it's from heaven. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Oh, Michael, the archangel of the Lord that had helped fight in this battle. It was a spiritual battle too, and we all go, we all endure such times, when we don't know what's going on, and we're confused, and there's not understanding, and things don't add up, they don't make sense, and we don't know why we're being hit so hard. And sometimes it could just seem like a bunch of dominoes going down, one thing after the other, bing 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 bing, and one hit after the other. But we serve a mighty God who knows how to strengthen us in the inner man. Oh, yes, to take us through these trials and tests so that we can truly say it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's going to be worth it all, yes. Sometimes we get clobbered. Sometimes we feel like our strength is gone. But one of these days it's going to be over. And the Lord has given us of His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, so that we can be strengthened in the inner man, so that we can rise above the circumstances of this world. Oh, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Oh, as he told his disciples there in the 16th chapter of John, Jesus, our example, he endured things that are beyond our comprehension. Oh, he was so despised and rejected and neglected, and oh my, all the things that he had to endure for our sake. and then on top of it, the cross of Calvary. But yet, you know, he could tell us to be of good cheer. Oh, yes, because he was going to strengthen us in the inner man. He was going to give us up his spirit. Oh, yes, so that we could stand the tests of times. We could endure these trials and hit us over the head at times. Oh, so that we can stand on our feet. Oh, yes, and we can be strong, and we can have a strength that comes from God that no man could give us. Oh, no, it's not by working our muscles in the physical sense at all. It's not by running that kind of race. But there's a spiritual endurance here. Oh, yes, that great need. Oh, yes, as we go before the throne of grace, to find that help in the time of trouble. Oh, yes, I think we've all been there, you know, those moments when we didn't know what was going to happen next, you know, and we needed help, we needed a miracle, you know, there was something that, you know, was trying to overwhelm us and get the best of us, and you know, the enemy was taking advantage of us, whatever all, maybe our best friend was forsaking us and everything else, and you know, maybe we felt like we had no strength at all. Maybe we needed a touch from the Lord, a new touch. Oh yes, a healing touch, you know. Wow, Lord, I can't do this unless you help me. God, I have no strength of my own. I can't do this unless you bear me up, Lord. And that's, you know, you give me a greater portion of thy spirit. I'm not be able to do this. Oh, I think of, you know, sometimes it's the little things that, you know, make such a difference in our lives. And sometimes it is those healing touches, you know. I think back many years ago when Anna was just a little girl, she was a little toddler, and we were vacationing in Michigan. And somehow, I think one of the girls was cleaning out her ear, and they must have got the Q-tip too deep in her ear or something. I think her ear was ruptured, and you know, Anna just, you know, little two-year-old or something. I guess you don't remember, huh? But anyway, it was quite a thing. Anna was obviously in tremendous pain. I mean, you could tell. There was no doubt about it. Something was drastically wrong, and here we are. We're kind of out in the boondocks in a strange place, and you didn't really know, you know, where or who we would call or whatever all, but we had Jesus. We had the great physician, and I just remember just gathering her in my arms and going to my little room, and we were kind of staying in a place, I think LaVon Buell was with us too at that point, and you know, I remember just asking the Lord to heal her. And he did it. Just like that, you know. The pain left, you know, the crying stopped, and you know, God delivered her, you know. It was such a beautiful thing. I mean, our God who can do all things, and oh, what a wonderful thing that was. I don't even know what doctors do when an ear is ruptured. I know earaches are terribly, terribly painful. But Jesus healed you, Anna. And it was so beautiful. It was such a wonderful thing, you know, that great relief. Oh, that circumstance was taken care of, you know, that burden gone, you know, that healing had come forth by the mighty hand of Jesus. And I remember, too, you know, our oldest daughter, Ruth, you know, for a while, when she's really quite young, just a baby, I believe, and she would get these attacks of some kind of bronchitis or something that was deep in her chest, and you know, we'd pray, and they would leave, but it seemed like a few weeks later she'd have another attack, and, you know, after a while, wow, is this ever going to stop? But I remember one day, yes, we had a special guest here. It was my brother-in-law, Henry Ritchie, and he prayed for Ruth and rebuked those attacks in the name of Jesus and ordered them never to come back. I praise the Lord, they were gone. They did not return. But that's our God. Oh, yes, our merciful high priest and king, the great physician who comes to us in our times of need when we cry out with all our hearts when there's no other answer. Oh, yes, and we need him so desperately. Oh, if we could just be like that widow woman that Jesus talked about there in the 18th chapter of Luke, who didn't give up, who didn't get weary, who kept on coming to that unjust judge, coming and coming and coming and coming until he answered. Oh, yes. Our Heavenly Father is so much more willing to give us the things that we have need of. He sees our plights. He knows our needs. He knows those things that we have need of before we even ask. And he is so willing to do it. Oh, yes, but we need that kind of faith. Oh, that victory that overcomes the world. Oh, yes, God can do anything. There is nothing too hard for our God. We might have waited for 20 years, but he is still able to heal us. He is still able to help us to overcome whatever the situation is. There is nothing too hard for him. Oh, yes, you might have been an alcoholic for years and years and years. You might think, you know, you might have tried to stop 1,000 times. But God is able to deliver, to take that taste of that alcohol completely away, 100%. So that it never returns. That nicotine, oh, those heroines or whatever, all, you know, people are addicted to. Our God is so able to deliver, to set us free, oh, yes, to give us those things that we have need of. Oh, yes. In this world, we do have tribulation. Like I said, there are things that we don't understand. We can't, you know, realize. We can't know. I mean, it's just beyond us. And sometimes, you know, it might seem like the healing, the deliverance is never going to come. The answer, you know, it might be that, you know, that child that we've been praying for years and years and years. And, you know, yet it seems like there's no response. But God hears those cries. God sees that faith, you know, and in that, you know, continual coming to him again and again and again. You know, you can't weary God. He's looking for somebody that doesn't give up. He's looking for that, you know, persistent person that, you know, normally people would think you were a pest and try to send you away. But no, we have a high and merciful high priest. Oh, yes. Who so willingly laid down his life for us that we could come boldly to that throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in the time of need. Oh, he so willingly paid that price so that he could enter into the heavens as a great high priest. Oh, the one that is able to meet every need, no matter what it is. Oh, what a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, the one that is never late. You know, there's this other little story, you know, that was told in the past, but you know, this dear Sister Whitman there in the Clintonville church. And there's a lot of wonderful stories that we share about this faithful woman, right, who, you know, who died and God brought her back so she could give a testimony of heaven. But this story was years before that, and here she was in the hospital, and she was scheduled for a surgery the next day. It might have been a removal of her gallbladder or something, but anyway, you know, she'd been petitioning the Lord, she had been praying and beseeching God, and you know, it must have seemed like the answer wasn't going to come. But there it was. It was the night before the surgery. And, you know, she felt the hand of the Lord touch her in that place of infirmity. She felt it, and it was just, oh, so precious and so real that, you know, there was no doubt in her mind. She knew it was the hand of the Lord. And so when they came to get her the next day, she told them that they needed to do another x-ray. She witnessed that God had touched her that night, and now she no longer needed that surgery. And I praise the Lord, you know, they did the x-ray, and sure enough, it was well, it was restored, it was healed. God had intervened, God had come to her rescue. That's God we serve. He hears us. Sometimes you got to fight. You know, we fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold on eternal life. These are action words, you know. And, you know, the thing is, it might not happen instantly, but, you know, we can have faith. We've got to have faith. Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And here it is. Here we are. Does he find faith in our heart? He hasn't changed. God has not changed at all. And he's able to do exceed above that which we ask or think. He has the answers for every predicament and every situation. Oh, there's nothing too hard for him. He just has to speak the words, and it will happen. But do we have faith? Do we really believe God? Are we believing for that miracle? Oh yes, sometimes it's delayed. I know when I was going through my gallbladder thing, I the Lord definitely gave me some assurances that, you know, he had healed me. And maybe you know the story. Yes, I was in one of my daughter's bedroom there. She said, I looked awful yellow, and maybe I should go see the doctor, and you know, all this and that. But, you know, I said, well, I want Jesus to heal me. I'm just believing that God will heal me. And I, you know, I'm very reluctant to go to the doctor, but, you know, I'm believing. And you know what? It was so amazing, because there in her bedroom, as we were going over her vocabulary lesson or something, the Lord touched me. Oh, yes, I felt that touch. Oh, yes, that sickening feeling. It just left, you know. And praise the Lord. And then, you know, as the days went by, you know, sometimes I'd sort of feel these sensations again. And, you know, the doubts would, you know, try to take over. But, you know, God put faith in my heart. And I'd keep on rebuking those sensations and rebuking them in the name of Jesus. And you know what? They would leave. And they, you know, if they tried to come back the next day, I'd just rebuke them again in the name of Jesus. And praise the Lord, there came that day when there were no more sensations. You know, those feelings did not come back at all. You know, God had taken care of that situation, for which I am so thankful. But that's our God, who knows how to meet every need, no matter what it is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We've been there a few times lately, I know, Samuel as well as myself, but let's look at verse 7 here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord here. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7. You know, all the glory needs to go to God. And sometimes God waits for, you know, maybe the most crucial moment so that the most glory can be given at that point. You know, the most desperate moment, he comes and intervenes. So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, we can't take any credit for the good things that our Lord does But then it talks about the conflicts in this world. It says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, the devil, the enemy who tries to rise up as a flood and overwhelm us. And all these things that try to clobber us over the head, the trouble on every side, all perplexing things and circumstances, even persecution. And it says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you even cast down, but you know, the Lord knows how to lift us up and how to bear us up, even at such moments. So that, you know, even though we might be persecuted, we're not forsaken. We know that the Lord is there in the midst of us, there at that time of persecution. He's going to be there to strengthen us so that we know that we're not forsaken. We might feel cast down at times, but He gives us that strength so that we are not destroyed, so that we can stand, so that we can bear up to the trial, to the test. And that it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that price He paid for us on the cross of Calvary. That the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. Oh, that He has that overcoming strength that He gives His people, that it might be revealed even in our very beings. That our focus, everything that changes because of what Jesus did at Calvary, how it made a difference in our lives. And then verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Oh, He takes us to the lows at times, you know, the very brink at times. But, you know, something happens through the trials and tests of this world. You know, there's a glow, the light of Jesus begins to glow all the more brightly within us when we endure such hardships. Oh yes, when we overcome. And it explains that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that that light of the gospel, the light of Jesus, might shine through us, that it might be revealed even in us. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And then He explains, oh yes, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we show our faith by the way we talk. You know, it tells a lot about us, you know. And you know, the psalmist wrote that fact, I believed and therefore have I spoken. That's quite a portion there in Psalms 116th Psalm. And you know, you realize that the writer there was on a very low ebb there, that they were fighting death. And you know, obviously, people must have, you know, said, well, you're dying, you're dying, you're dying. And that declaration must have been made. But faith arose in that heart of that psalmist. And he was able to say that, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. And, you know, that individual was delivered from the claws of death. Praise the Lord. The Lord took him through those circumstances, that faith that arose in the heart, so that he could declare it. He could say it. He could believe it. And likewise it is within us. We also believe and therefore speak. Oh yes, faith is an action word. Oh yes, Jesus can see faith. It's by the way we talk. It's the things we do. You know, the way we bring forth in our heart, the way we pray, it all shows works of faith. That hope that is within us, the things we declare, it all speaks. And it says in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Oh yes, we know the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. And if that Spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in us, he that raised up Christ from the grave shall also quicken our mortal bodies. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter. Oh, that quickening Spirit of the Holy Ghost that comes to dwell in us. That faith, that hope that he puts in our hearts, that overcoming strength that he puts within us, that victory that overcomes the world. Oh, yes. We realize that Lord, oh, yes, that raised up Jesus is going to quicken our mortal bodies, yes, at that last trumpet. And then verse 15 declares, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, these things that happen, you know, it might be beyond even our sakes. It might be for the profiting of our brothers and sisters, or even those that are without, that testimony that he gives us through the faith of Jesus Christ. And you know, I know what it's like. I know there's a good brother in the Lord, Brother Kurt, who's, you know, just found out that he has cancer. It's spread also. It was in his colon, and it's spread into his lymph nodes. And I just had a wonderful talk with his parents, Betty and Gary, on Sunday. And, you know, they're talking about Kurt. You know, is he down in the dumps and all grumpy? No, he's telling everybody about Jesus. You know, he's talking about faith and what God can do, you know. And they're saying, hey, we've heard about you, you know, and there he is, you know. He could be very depressed. He could feel very forsaken. But there he is in the hospital room giving praise to the Lord. Oh, yes, with a testimony, with a song in his heart, knowing that we serve a God that has the answers. Oh, yes, he's being a light. He's being a testimony. Oh, yeah, in the midst of great trials. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. That's what God can do for us. He puts something deep that, oh, is able to take us through the tests of this world. So it says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, we're not going to faint in the day of adversity. Oh, yes, our outward man may be perishing as we grow older and the trials and tests take their toll. But I'll tell you what, the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, we come to the Lord. We go to the Lord. And he gives us that strength. He gives us all that faith that overcomes the world. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, it's going to be so worth it when we see Jesus. Oh, and we realize these little things that we went through here were but for a moment. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All the things that he puts in our hearts so that we can even glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh experience, and experience gives us hope. Oh, yes. That patience that comes through tribulations, and then that experience, and that hope that is in Jesus. All those things, oh yes, the things of this world are but for a moment. They're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we know, yes, though, you know, we might feel faint, we might feel weary, we might feel almost in despair at times. We're not going to faint. We're going to allow the Lord to strengthen us in the inward man, to renew us day by day. For surely we need the strengthening of the Lord. Oh yes, we could not do it without the Lord. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's that strength, it's that faith that he puts within us. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. It's even our faith. That simple little faith, oh yes, that, you know, believes. And therefore we have spoken, you know, the things that are not yet seen, but yet we believe them in our heart. We acknowledge them in our heart. For we know that we serve a mighty God. A mighty God who strengthens us day by day, who renews us, who gives us the faith, the strength, the courage, the ability to endure the tests, the trials of this world. Praise the Lord, for which cause we faint not. Praise the Lord, that's our God, the faith that he gives us, the faith that overcomes the world, so that one day we can say, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. Praise the Lord, that's what's laid up for those that endure unto the end, that look for the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord, thank the Lord, he knows how to give us that endurance, that keeping power. Praise the Lord Jesus, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord, that faith that overcometh the world. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus.
Well, I thought tonight we could sing Faith is the Victory. Do you need a sheet?
I could use it, I think.
I still don't have the music on. It's in the round book. All right, faith is the victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Comes the world, his banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints before with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Comes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.